Welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. We're attempting to have a guest on today, but there must have been some kind of a mix-up. So, it's rant time. Call-in lines are open, 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. I've got the little conference manager thingy in front of me right here, so we can answer your calls right away. Now, last night is... Actually, I very rarely do. I was all over Facebook and replying to people and talking and offering out little bits of philosophy as my wee, what's it called, status. And there's a number of different things that I've become disillusioned with, namely political ideology. And for anybody who has one, sorry, you're not going to like this. I was thinking about, you know, if you're a leftist, let's say, there have been left governments that have existed before, and what did they all wind up doing? Oh, they turned into tyrannies and wind up exterminating their population or enslaving them. Okay, well, in that case, leftist ideology is thrown out. If you're a hardcore right-winger, what's happened through history to all of those real hardcore right-wing regimes? Well, they turned into tyrannies and wound up killing or enslaving all their people. Okay, so that's thrown out. If you're in the middle-of-the-road type person, what happens to all these different middle-of-the-road type political ideologies throughout history? Well, they either get taken out by leftist or right-wing regimes and then get subsequently enslaved or exterminated, so that one's thrown out. Do you see what I'm saying here? If you have a political ideology, you're wrong by default. Okay? If you're a libertarian, you wind up getting taken out. If you're an anarchist, you wind up getting taken out. It doesn't matter how altruistic, how kind, how nice, how free, how, you know, regardless, you're wrong if you have any political belief. Because all of these political beliefs have been run before and they've all failed. Right, now, this doesn't mean I'm apathetic. This just means I'm no longer operating under the illusion that somebody's political ideas, regardless of whatever they are correct. Okay? Somebody tells me this form of government or this form of freedom or this form of this, that, and the other will work. I know that it won't because history tells me unequivocally not only won't they won't, but they can't work. Politics doesn't work. Sure, we've got to debate with each other. We've got to talk with each other. These sort of things. But again, to anybody who thinks that one system will work over the other, has been captured by the paradigm, right? I have some people telling me that they're going to be starting running and they're going to be trying to free New Zealanders from tyranny and things of this nature, you know, and. Me being quite cynical, actually, I told them, look, if you're standing for truth, if you're standing for justice, nobody will vote for you. If you're standing for lies, deceit, scumbaggery, you'll probably be elected, right? Namely because those are the ones who've got all the money, and those are the ones who are the morons who actually do go out and vote and believe that the political process is real, will support. It's quite sad. I'm wondering how to get over this. I'm wondering if there is even a way through tyranny. Can't we just let it go? Yes, I understand that you think taking care of other people helps them. Then have a look and all the molly-coddled little children out there who can't even tie their own shoes because mummy always tied them for them. That's the leftist ideology. It makes everybody weak and incapable of taking care of themselves. Conversely, you go all the way over to the right-wing parenting style. which is, I got to help you with nothing. You're going to have to fend for yourself. Those people wind up with huge chips on their shoulders and turn into real pieces of work who are basically assholes. Right? That's basically what I've determined. You're either an asshole or you're a pathetic, incapable piece of trash. Right? That's the left and the right paradigm. That's the road that both of them lead to. Sure, there might be people who are within the left paradigm who can take care of themselves, and there might be people within the right paradigm who aren't total assholes. Okay? But you give them all the power that they want, you give them all the political swing that they need in order to create their utopia of varying degrees, and you know what happens? Everybody winds up getting messed up by it. I just want to be my own master. I don't want somebody else to be able to tell me what to do. I don't want to have any kind of a political government that can enslave me or kill me or anything like that without me having the capacity to defend myself. And invariably, that's what every single political paradigm winds up doing, saying, we'll solve all your fracking problems and you won't have to do anything and we've all got these laws that govern us and everything like that. Humans don't follow laws. We don't follow ideologies, not through to some kind of perfection. Right? That, I think, is the real problem with politics, is that people are attempting to achieve the quote-unquote perfect society. I think that if we're trying to create the perfect society, it's just like trying to create the perfect religion. It's all based on belief. And your beliefs, unfortunately, can be trumped by fact. My very special guest is Chris Milligan, and he has now arrived via webcam. Chris, welcome to the program.
Good day, sir. How you doing?
I'm somewhat fabulous. How about yourself?
I can't hear you very well.
Can you hear me now?
Yep. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can, but you're a little bit waffled. If you could turn your webcam off, that might increase your audio quality.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay. Well, Chris, ladies and gentlemen, his father worked for the Office of Secret Services, the OSS, and the CIA. And as a young man, he told him a whole lot of secrets about the New World Order and what's coming. And he took the ball and ran with it, essentially. I believe his website is Trine Media or something of that nature. I apologize, Chris, for the lack of preparation on my part. I've been very busy. So if you would...
It's trineday.com.
Trineday.com, that's right.
Yeah, T-R-I-N-E-D-A-Y. It means an auspicious day, a good day, and we need some good days coming, right?
You betcha. You betcha. Now, speaking of good days coming, I was just kind of explaining to the audience how disillusioned I am with everybody's political ideology, right? I don't care whether you're right-wing, left. I don't care whether you're right-wing, left-wing, anarchist, libertarian, yada, yada, yada. Nobody's right. Everybody's wrong. And there's no such thing as the perfect society, in my opinion. There's no utopia. You can't create one. I'm just completely disillusioned with the democratic process in every way, shape, or form, where the 51% can enslave the other 49%. I just don't think it's working, and I'm just sick of it.
Well, you know, we're here at the end of at least 100 years of some very structured psychological warfare that's been directed at us. Okay, and you know, at the end of the day, we're really tribal, okay? Your mind's tribal. And how did the tribe survive? Well, the tribe survived because, you know, the young kids stayed up late and got up late. The old folks went to bed early and got up early, okay? And then you had people that were looking one way and people, everybody's not looking in the same direction, okay? And so it's natural for us to have different viewpoints. It's good for us to have different viewpoints because then we survive, okay? And so basically, the cabal, the secret society system, whatever you want to call it, has used these different viewpoints, okay, to divide us, okay? And when you get down to it, yeah, you're right. We don't need a revolution. What we really need is our republic back. Okay. And they effectively use these psychological warfare to move us from being in a republic to being in an empire.
Well, Chris, you've made a point there that I actually agree with, and I said before you came on the show that every time one regime takes over, whether it be hardcore right or hardcore left, they always descend into tyranny. But it's actually not true of the United States. There was a period of like 100 or so years where there was huge economic growth, enormous freedom, a great capitalistic model. The problem is it got taken over by a criminal cabal of scumbags eventually. So the problem is not really whether or not the republic works. The problem is whether or not you can keep it, as Franklin said.
Right. Well, yes, and that's true. And we need to listen to those founding fathers, because they were one of the last generations that was classically trained, because the all the secret societal system. You know, Johann Wolfgang Fichte, in his third address to the German people in 1805, says, we're going to take your kids, we're going to teach them what and how and when to think, okay? And they developed these series of three schools, okay? The academies for the elite, the institutes for the helpers of the elite, and then the folk schools for everybody else. And they found in these folk schools that they took the classical education. They didn't teach a bunch of it. They didn't teach you, you know, rhetoric and logic and dialectic, okay? But they took the subjects and they taught them for an hour, put bells in between. Then they could create a false construct around us, okay? And you know, the work on that, you know, started after Napoleon beat up the Bavarians, okay? And they came up with the Prussian education system. And was brought over here through Skull and Bones by Dewey and Mann. They weren't members of Skull and Bones, but every time they needed some money, there was guys from Skull and Bones says, oh, here, you need to go over to Europe, here, blah, 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 blah. And then they helped set up the American Historical Association, the American Economic Association. And then with Rockefeller, who's a member of Skull and Bones, they basically set up the education system that we have. And it's very... I don't know if I say
it. If I may, the problem is that we've been taught to not think.
Yeah.
So how could we possibly think ourselves out of our current political, environmental, or anarchical situation without the power to think?
Well, you know, it's just like Lincoln said, you can't fool all the people all the time. So all this machination doesn't work on everybody all the time. So there's, you know, and it's education. I mean, the only way is education and then following, you know, the clues that you get to how the world is really run to find out. I mean, it's just like there's one point in time in your life, right, that, I mean, you saw it like, I mean, you're in New Zealand, but... you know, our dollar bills, you know,
I'm going to try and hang that up.
Yeah, and we thought they were on the Federal Reserve. But now, you know, we know that they're fake money, right? And you don't go back from that. It's not like a religion. You don't backslide from understanding that, okay, my money isn't real. You may not know what it means and may not know what to do about it, okay? But you know something's hinky is up, okay? And so you then become a defective slave, okay? And you know, the American people and the people at large in the world, you know, through time have been, you know, more stiff-necked than these people want. And so...
You know, you got to really love those people who call at the inappropriate times, and especially when they call back.
Yes, yes. I'll go ahead and pull the cord, so they're going to be able
cut,
to...
cut the cord, you know, make it go like a one of those heart monitors.
Well, you know, I mean, And basically the dynamic that's going on, okay? Because, see, we as a people, we aren't into this death trip and having our lives controlled like this. So there is self-correcting devices, okay? The first self-correcting device is known to us as the historical dialectic. I call it the dark hallway. You go down a hallway for a while, and you bump up into one side, right? Then you might bump up to the other side. Well, now, I say some things that I know that are true about drug smuggling, about intelligence services.
And ad breaks. We'll be right back after this one with Chris Milligan, TrineDay.com. By the way, if you're a reader, ladies and gentlemen, me, I'm not a reader, but if you are, my goodness, there are a shockingly large amount of incredible-looking books at TrineDay.com, and I recommend you get one of them. We'll be right back after the break at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles, but I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual.
Welcome back.
So until I can say I'm credible.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go friggin' nuts. A very special guest.
Yeah.
Is Chris Milligan from TrineDay.com, TrineDay.com. And they got an incredible array of books that, well, basically, I can't even remember the last time. Like, you know how, Chris, when you walk into a gas station or something like that, and you see a rack of magazines on the thing, and you're like, you might see maybe one title or something, one cover story out of the whole rack that you think, man, that might be a little bit interesting. It's kind of like the direct opposite of that, where there might be maybe one book on the entire line of... Well, no, it looks like there's practically 100 books on the homepage. Yeah, there might be one book that I perhaps maybe not interested in reading, and I can't even determine what that one is at this point, just looking at them. You know, it's quite astounding, really. How exactly have you accumulated so many top authors and topical material?
It's been an amazing journey, basically because I stood up and published people, because there is a amazing amount of stuff that doesn't get published, and not just because it's not any good, okay, because of the politics of it. And that's how I started. I mean, the first book was Burying the Bull Myself, because I had been at an age in New York for 2 years, and nobody was going to publish it. And then I did Anthony Sutton. His book was going out of print, and his...
Chris, we're having some real trouble with your audio. If you'd be able to type in your phone number into the Skype chat here, and also replug in your phone, we'll reconnect you that way.
Okay.
Because we've really got to up the quality here for the listeners. Poor people who didn't deal with our stuff. If you always wondered, you know, why technical issues always seem to happen to these kind of things, and it's not because it's a result of a conspiracy. It's just, you know, when technology fails, it fails all the time. Okay, so we've got your phone number there. Is your phone plugged in the background there, Chris?
Yes, it is.
All right, cool. So, AFR, if you can just connect him right now, I think we should probably hear the phone ringing in the background in any second now. But I wanted to list some of these things that you've got on the website while we wait for that reconnection here. A couple of people that we've had on the show, me and Lee, the story of a romance between Lee Harvey Oswald and I think also Dr. Mary's Monkey here, Edward T. Haslam. I think we've had Edward on the show. The Most Dangerous Book in the World, 9/11 is Mass Ritual by S.K. Bain. I believe it's some kind of a incredible researcher. You're quite a funny guy too. as I recall. And you know what it occurs to me? We've got Dr. David Ray Griffin here and Douglas Valentine, Peter Lavendra, Tamara Carter. It's just so many topics are really glossed on this because there's just so much that has been covered up. So many things that people should know that major publishing houses are really and in some cases justifiably terrified about the prospect of publishing. You know, information is very, very dangerous. AFR, can you hear us? Are you paying attention? Are you listening? Can we get Chris up via phone or Chris, if you want to call us in the call in number 218-339-8525. I've just popped it in there. If you want to hang up your Skype and give us a call, I'll take your call through the switchboard.
Say that number one more time.
I've just popped it into the Skype chat here for you, mate. 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525. So if you want to pick up the phone and call us through there and just hang up your Skype. I apologize again, ladies and gentlemen, for the technical difficulties here. It's not my fault. Trying to do the best that I can. And here's another interesting book on the site here. Fixing America, Breaking the Stranglehold of Corporate Rule, Big Media, and the Religious Right by John Buchanan. See, you know, you're ticking off the most powerful people in the world here. It's like, the corporates, the media, and religion, you know. Three very, very controlled paradigms to a large degree. And look, just because you belong to a religion doesn't mean you're actually, you know, let me put it like this. You don't have to be somebody who goes to church every day in order to be somebody of a great spiritual faith. Chris, you seem to still be on the Skype line there. Have you got problems with your phone? 218...
Got it.
339-8525.
Okay.
All right, there he is. He's calling us up now. All right, and just remember to hang up the Skype once you've got the call in. Should be entering into the chat room at any momento. Now, for those of you who are unaware of what we do on the show, I'm not a researcher or a trained journalist or anything like that. Everything that I've learned in everything has been basically through experience. Now, that makes me, very vulnerable in a lot of ways. So, Chris, you're here.
Hi.
You're on the line. Okay, good on you, mate.
Yeah, to get back to your question, yeah, it was basically because I stood up and then people called me. Very few of my books have I gone out and said, hey, you know, would you write a book? Most of them have come to me. And, you know, and to get back to what I was talking about before, we have self-correcting devices, and it's part of the dynamic that is going on. And the other self-correcting device is the cycle of generation. And there was a generation that didn't cohere in the 1860s, and the powers that be were looking to have another generation not cohere in the 1960s. Okay, and they wanted an antithesis to our parents' generation. And they wanted a peace-out drugged generation, a drugged-out peace generation. And but the cycle of generations has a little bit more moving parts. And we saw the assassinations, the war, and basically the generation jumped aside and created a counterculture called the hippies. Okay, basically created and cohesed around a joint being smoked around a circle. And what came out of the hippies was the personal computer and the internet. And those are the tools that we as a society are using to fight the secret societal, you know, the cabal, the this group, okay? And because there's way more of us than there are of them, and the personal computer gives me the ability to make a book, gives you the ability to do a radio show, gives a lot of people the ability to create stuff, okay? And then with the Internet, we can tell everybody about it, and you can participate. I participate with you. You're in New Zealand, okay? It's beyond just being an American thing. I mean, it's a worldwide thing. I mean, we've all seen the pictures of our world from outer space. We know this is a, you know, this beautiful little blue ball that's going through space, okay? And that you know, raises our quote-unquote consciousness, our sophistication. And so the dynamics is that, you know, we are striving to get a good place on the earth instead of being slaves. And so that's a dynamic that's going on.
I don't see the paradigm changing fast enough.
Well, fast enough for what? Fast enough for what?
Fast enough for an impatient young man.
I'll go along with that. I'm 63, you know, and I do see change, and I'm very, very optimistic. I'm very, very optimistic, and because the psychological warfare, I mean, basically we're involved with meme warfare and understanding, okay, because right now the perfect slave thinks he's free, okay, but once people start understanding, it's not a jackboot, you know, with a guy with a gun, okay, but it's a jackboot on our mind and on our ability to be who we should be, okay? And people are waking up to that. I mean, it doesn't, you know, I mean, gee, everybody knows that, you know, all we get out of TV and all this is propaganda. I mean, it's still very effective. And it still, you know, I mean, can draw you right in and, you know, and be very effective. But still, you know, they're losing their hold bit by bit. And they have to do these amazing big mass trauma rituals, okay, to get us in line. And, you know, at the end of the day, the assassination of Kennedy, Watergate, 9/11, these things are mass rituals. And you know, and then they have these other trains running where they do these mass killings on occult days. And if you read Peter Lavinda and his Sinister Forces, which was a heavily suppressed work that I was very proud and humbled to be able to publish, okay? But one thing that he shows in there is how that the people that are involved with the psychological warfare, the propaganda departments are also involved with a cult circle. And
wasn't Michael Aquino the head of the Church of Satan working for the Department of Defense as their official satanic chaplain at some point?
Well, you know, what his job was in the Defense Department, I don't know. He had a lot to do with the war games and looking into the future and stuff like that. And whether he was a chaplain associated with the Department of Defense, that I do not know. But, you know, we do know that the Church of Satan is a recognized religion within the Department of Defense. And if you're, you know, a chaplain out in the field and you got a little book and, it, you know, if you got somebody there that's a member of the Church of Satan, you're supposed to minister them. So... That's pretty interesting.
I think that if you have a look at satanic paradigms and how the methodology works, is basically you just take everything that's right and good and correct and bright and kind and loving, and you just do the direct opposite, you know? Like it's a simple paradigm, really. You have a look at the crucifix, and then in the satanic Bible, the crucifix is upside down.
It gets down... As far as I'm concerned, it gets down to actions and it gets down to, you know, the right way. I mean, there's certain ways to walk down here. There's certain ways, and the only way that that stuff works is through trickery, is through lying, and through force, and through all kinds of things. And I really think that those things, you know, I mean, we've got a situation here where the last oligarchy that really had a big play on the Western world was really their big hands all around it was the Roman Catholic Church, okay? And the thing that got rid of that was Gutenberg's press, okay? Because, first off, it gave the people the ability to read what these people were telling them. Then also it created these books that got passed around that brought us our republic. Okay, well, you know, the internet
is that kind of what you're doing with Trondae Books and the internet. Essentially, you're trying to free people's minds from the control of information.
Right. Educate them. Basically, you know, I mean, we need to understand how the world really works. Okay, and if you understand how the world really works, I mean, we can diffuse a lot of the BS, okay? Because, I mean, one thing that I tell my authors and, you know, when I've got an agenda. I've got, Trondae has an agenda. The first part of the agenda is the Constitution of the United States. Now, it may not be a perfect document, but, you know, it can be amended and it keeps growing, okay? And then you have our children. And then I have two sub-agendas. My sub-agenda, first sub-agenda is get rid of the prohibition. Okay, I mean, the prohibitions, you know, have nothing to do with our health, our community, or our children. They have to do with keeping in place a black market, which allows the secret societal system, these forces from the shadows, to affect our life immensely. Because it gives them huge amounts of money, you know, daily. Okay, and the other sub-agenda is that corporations are not people, okay? And both these corruptions are brought to us through the secret societal system, and they're brought to us directly through Skull and Bones. Skull and Bones has been a drug smuggler. I mean, always think about it.
Could we actually expand on Skull and Bones? Because allegedly it's one of the world's most powerful secret societies, and I would like to get into that after the break. Chris Milligan, ladies and gentlemen, Trondae.com. We'll be right back.
I got some so-called friends. Smile right to my face. All when my back is turned.
They sprayed depleted uranium all over the place. We'll be right back. We are right back, of course. My very special guest, Chris Milligan. Welcome back, everybody. Now, Chris Milligan from Trondae Books is my guest. And I don't know what how you feel about it, Chris, but the way I feel about the written word is that it's almost a dying art form with the advent of, just typing on keyboards for that matter. You know, people can barely, if you ever seen anybody's handwriting these days, freaking shocking. and also attention spans, have, decreased, dropped sharply, you know, as if somebody threw a billiard ball of people's attention spans off the top of the World Trade Center and it hit the ground after 10 seconds, kind of like they did.
Well,
it's quite extraordinary. My point is, though, that people are far more willing to watch videos now than they are to read books. Have you noticed this as I have?
Well, sure. I mean, that's a progression. But we also sometimes... it's like before the internet, very few people even wrote a letter. Okay, wouldn't send a letter back and forth. But now with email, okay, they're actually sitting down to a computer and composing things and sending things back and forth. So actually, you know, the internet even it has increased the communication between people and increased the creativity. That people can do. And, yes, I mean, that's true. But still, at the end of the day, you know, there's a reason why they burn books. And a book is is something that, it relates to a video. A video is something that you can put together, you can put it on, and you can watch, and gives you experience, and has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Okay? So, you can deliver information lots of different ways. Okay? The book isn't going to go away, though, completely, because lots of things, that's where they start out. But now, to get back to Skull and Bone, it's a secret society, and all secret societies, no matter where they are in the world, they're all the same, especially if you look at them a lot through sociology. And they're a lot like a onion or a pyramid, in that you have a lot of people at the base in Masonic circles. They call them porch brethren. And then you have an administrative cadre, because at any time in any organization, there are the people that come in and turn the lights off and turn the lights on. And then you have a core group, okay? And the core group are always all related. They're always cousins, okay? Skull and Bones is built around the Cabot family, with a big, large a subset of the Whitney family. And here's how the secret societies run the world. Okay, it's a Leviathan of three levels, and with three parts to each level. And the top part is mining, metal, and money. And, you think about it, and it kind of makes sense. If you control the mining, then you have a good chance of controlling the metal that comes out of it. And then you have a good chance in controlling the money that gets made from that metal, right? And then when I go and look
at... The coins, at least.
Well, but that's where it starts. That's where the start of the money starts. A lot of the stuff that comes out of the mine never gets, made into metal. It gets made into, zeros in some computer. But... And when you look at the membership list, Skull and Bones, we do have a pretty good membership list. From 86 on, it gets a little bit washy, but before then, we have it in spades. And we can look at that, and boy, we find all these mining executives, all these mining families, and different things. And then the next level is drugs. I'm talking illegal drugs. Oil and guns. And oil also includes big pharma. Okay? And this you can look directly at Skull and Bone in that, they started opium smuggling in the 1700s, and have been connected to it, up to today. And then it was a guy from Skull and Bones that made gasoline for the very first time out of petroleum, out of rock oil. And they did this 1855. And then they proceeded to monopolize everything around petroleum, okay, which, like I say, includes Big Pharma, too. And then guns, Whitney. Mr. Whitney, they told us Americans that he invented interchangeable parts. Actually, a guy in France did it a little bit earlier. But what did he do with those interchangeable parts? He started making guns. And in Connecticut there, where Skull and Bones is based, you have General Electric. That's where the submarines started. That's where the helicopters started. They make so many guns in that state, it's not funny. All the Browning automatic rifles for World War I and World War II came from a factory just right up the street from the Skull and Bones temple. Okay? And then the last level is media, movies, and quote-unquote magic. That being the ability to hoodwink us, to make us think something else is going on, and their preponderance on using these big rituals to traumatize us. And when you look at it, they're basically low-level sorcerers, okay, that are using a thing called death magic, okay? They believe that by killing people, they get power. Okay. And it's a...
Where do they derive that book from, like the Egyptian Book of the Dead?
It's very similar to the Thuggee in India. And, you know, you had Skull and Bones, New Haven, Connecticut, where Skull and Bones is based and was formed, okay, was one of the early colonies there in the United States, okay, and they were, they were Calvinists. And were called Puritans at the time, and these guys were hyper Calvinists. They were the wealthiest community that had come over. They came over as with a judge and a prophet, and the seven pillars of the community. And the only people that could vote were certain white guys that had a certain amount of property in a certain way. They laid out this square, these nine squares and stuff like that. And the hyper-Calvinists, along with believing that Christ only came for them, and once you were saved, you could do whatever you want, and that they were the saints, they were the elect in heaven, the hyper-Calvinists also believed that there was an elect in hell, and that... Satan, Lucifer, was a fallen angel, then he had these fallen angels around him that still had this spark of goodness, but they did bad so that God could be God. I mean, it's nuts. Okay? And, you know, you can look at it with Skull and Bones, you know, their big drinking song is, you know, we're little black sheep who have gone astray, bah, 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 you know, this. It's very, very interesting. Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, well, look at their symbol. I mean, their symbol. I mean, you know, it was a symbol of death, and I mean, it's a very cultic symbol. And so
it's
you have
skull and crossbones. You know, just reminds me of the Jolly Roger. I mean, do these people think of themselves as pirates?
Well, there's a relation. No, they think of themselves as being an extension of the Knights Templar, and. You know, a secret society hasn't, you know, I mean, secret societies in themselves aren't bad and evil, okay? And secret societies can be used, you know, I mean, they're just like a gun, you know, they're a thing. It depends on what the attention, you know, what the people are doing with it. Okay.
But unfortunately, this secret society holds itself to the head of the major politicians and people who control the country of America, don't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They, you know, Sears, Kmart, all, you know, these are all owned by, Skull and Bones, all the Morgan banks, you know, Citibank. I mean, it's just incredible when you look at the, what they own. And,
well, they call them bonesmen. And unfortunately, Chris, we've kind of run out of time here, but there's one other thing I just wanted to get out quickly before we go. Wasn't the grave of Geronimo dug up by George H.W. Bush, and Geronimo's family are still trying to...
It was Prescott Bush, and they've tried to run away from it a whole bunch, and they've tossed out about six different lies, and one of the lies is that Prescott just lied to him about digging it up, and just all the evidence points that they had Geronimo's skull, and we've got a book coming out that goes into it in quite detail.
Exactly, and ladies and gentlemen, you can find that book when it comes out at trineday.com, really, T-R-I-N-E. So, Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Vinny. Anytime and any help I can ever be, just let me know.
Sure, man. I mean, I'd love to sell some of those books off my website if that's at all possible. All right.
I believe it is.
All right. Excellent. Well, we'll get into contact with you after the show within the next few days. Okay, Chris Milligan, ladies and gentlemen, trineday.com. Thank you very much for your time, and thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. And we will see you after the break.
funneling through smokestack, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation to fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.